Anyways, this Sunday we are going to read from Matthew, a gospel text from Matthew 13. We're going to read verses 24 through 30, and then we're going to read verses 36 through 43. And I'm going to ask that you remain seated today in honor of the gospel. Last week I had you stand for an epistle. Sometimes we become such creatures of habits we forget why we do things. But we honor God in all places, in all positions. At least I pray we do. So let's continue our reading in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, beginning our service once again in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, by reading Matthew chapter 13, beginning at 24, and reading so forth. And another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, it brought forth fruit, it appeared also the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. And the servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go out and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye shall root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, then bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Beginning at verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into a house. And his disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parables of the tares of the field. And he answered and he said unto them, he that soweth good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are his angels. And therefore the tares gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather together out of the kingdom all the things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and they shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth, and the Son in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word before us. We have a tendency, Father, to focus on what we hear as we call negative, as the hurtful, as those things that would be a warning. But allow us, Father, by the Holy Spirit, to also hear the encouragement, the strengthening, and the promises. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. This is the calendar text for today, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. It's a very, very powerful account of, in reality, the end of the world, if we could say it in that fashion, the consummation. It's interesting because Jesus now is spending time declaring these parables to the people. He turns around and he actually sees the multitudes, the groups that are coming to him in great mass. And he turns and he goes out on the water. And he allows the congregation to be on the land so that he could use that amphitheater to project his word that people would hear. And that's one of the things that we have in our life. We have difficulty hearing. Well, think about it in his day. But this is the understanding. People wanted to hear the word. They wanted encouragement. They had desire. They had needs. They had plenty of religion in this day and age. They had plenty of great ideas. But it wasn't feeding them. They had a desire to know something the more. And Jesus, he turns around and he starts to give them a parable, descriptive stories. He's giving descriptive stories that they would understand what he's speaking about. I got to move this down a little. I hear it clicking. But the point being is that he wants them to understand it, and he wants them to grasp. We do this with our children. My wife always has a statement, use word pictures. And my wife is here today. She's playing the organ. So a lot of people wonder when she's not up front. She says, use word descriptions so that young ones can understand. Even employees can understand. People can understand where you're coming from. So Jesus does this. First and foremost, when they gathered, he shares with them the parable of the sower. And he talks about the many different grounds in the beginning of 13. And how some of the fruit sprung up right away, but didn't have root. Some sprung up and had good root. Some got choked out with thistles. And he talks about this. But then he brings in this other parable. This other descriptive event. Another parable he put forth to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that sowed good seed. Good seed in his field. Have we considered that? We're good seed. God created all things and he said, it is good. God created everything. He looked at it and he said, it is good. We have this understanding because of the fall of man through Adam, no doubt, that we have become so deplorable, so disgusting, that God would want nothing to do with us. That's not the truth. He created us in his image. And he has called us in reality good. And now we understand by the fall of Adam, we are tainted. But it doesn't mean that we don't have a value. We have great value before the God the Father. We have so much great value before God the Father that he gave his only begotten Son in our behalf to cleanse us, to make us good fruit. It's like this man that went out and he sowed this seed in the field. But while men slept, in other words, the whole farm, the man, all his workers, they were sleeping. This enemy comes in. This one that desired to do harm. And he takes, in reality, weeds. And he throws the seed throughout the same field. All the work that was done. He comes in a false swoop. And he takes and he messes it up. He sowed tares among the wheat. And he went his way. His work was done. You ever notice people that are like that? They kind of come into a room, they throw a grenade in the room, and then they walk out. Almost proud that they've caused division, that they've caused struggle. They're quite satisfied that their point was made and they're out of there. They don't really care about the people that are left behind. This individual, as it's given in this description, did not care about the good fruit. In fact, he cared very much against it. He didn't like it at all. He wanted it all to be ruined. So he goes in there without being picky either, and he casts his tares wherever they would. And he enters in. And it says, when the blade started to spring up, they brought forth fruit, but also something else came up. These ill plants. These plants of no value that actually would have a great tendency to choke out good ones. These tares. The servants of the house, they were shocked. They were quite shocked by this. The servants, they came and they said to him, sir, didn't we sow good stuff in that field? Didn't we put wheat in that field? He says, but now, how does this happen? Where did these tares come from? Are we shocked when we all of a sudden find evil present around us? Am I shocked even in my own heart when I turn around and I find that when I'm not careful, I have evil even within my own heart, that I have ill thoughts towards somebody, I have struggles, I have difficulties. Where did they come from? He said to them, the enemy has done this work. Well, this isn't good. This is not good. What we need to do is we need to go out there and we need to start picking them out. Get rid of them. Let's get it. Let's nip it in the bud. Let's get it now. Don't do it. Jesus says in another place, you won't know the difference. You won't know the difference and you'll end up pulling out the wheat. This example says, but he said no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you shall also what? Root up. You're going to cause such turmoil. You're going to cause such trouble. You're going to traumatize these plants to the point where you're actually going to ruin the wheat too. It's an amazing thing when you start thinking about it, that when we just start going into a place and think we know best and we're going to start cleaning house, we have a tendency just to rip up the good stuff too, or to cause such turmoil to the root system that it causes actually the plant to become weaker and weaker. Does not issues and struggles and difficulties within families, within congregations, do they not do the same? And when we think by our own power, by our own ability, not dealing in the grace of God, but by our own intellect and wisdom, think we can fix the problem, tell somebody else how to live, how to do it, we actually cause more harm than good. Isn't that one of the most difficult things as a believer in Jesus Christ, to actually trust that God knows what He's doing? That He can follow through with what has been started? That maybe He did not necessarily give us the problem or the issue or the disease, but rather He can use this issue to glorify Himself, to show other people and to show the world around that we can in reality suffer in through Jesus Christ and actually do it well. I know that was a mouthful, wasn't it? Sometimes when you get on a roll, you just got to keep going. Don't do it. You're going to upset things. There needs to be a defining. You ever notice? At least to my eyes, all plants, when they start springing up, look the same. They're green and they're weedy. I've never yet had Duffy ask me to come to her house and start weeding her gardens. I had a garden one time. There's a saying, what? A man full of words and not of deeds has a garden full of weeds. I had a garden full of weeds. I had this garden in Tapiola. I was going to be this great gardener. And I got it all tilled up. I had Tom Heider come over with his big tiller. We got it all done. I was so proud. I planted all this money in the ground. I was like, man, I'm going to live well. Within months, I didn't know what was what anymore. It was just a big weed mass. Well, anyways, I had friends from Sri Lanka come and visit. They were missionaries, and they were as dark as the ace of spades. And they saw that, and they were laughing. They said, brother, you don't have a very good garden here. And I told them my little saying, well, a man of words and not of deeds has a garden full of weeds. And he says, we'll fix it. And I literally had guys from Carvacos Market looking over there, see three dark people in my garden weeding it for me. And I said, you're going to start a controversy here that I got these indentured servants in my yard. And they laughed. And when those people were done, because they relied on their garden so much, it was spotless. It was perfect. But they could define, because the plants were of age, that they could define in reality what was good and what was bad. But they also had an eye to understand what was good and bad, and I didn't. I was very much a novelist. I've never in my life seen a garden so clean and so beautiful. But they relied on it. He says, leave them alone because you don't know the difference. He says, let both grow together. Sounds so harsh, doesn't it? Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather those, first the tares, get the negative out. You'll be able to define them, get them out. Bind them up and burn them so that they don't cause more issues elsewhere. Destroy them. Get rid of them. But put the wheat in my barn because that has a great purpose. That has a great purpose. So do you know what this all means? It's interesting, eh? You ever feel like you're not worthy? You ever feel like that sometimes you're just not really the best Christian? You ever feel like you just can't get it right? and you just struggle? Are there those individuals in your life that are around you that kind of tell you the negative all the time but don't really bring out the positive? Are there those individuals that will try to put you under a burden that they themselves will not lift? Are there individuals out there that are trying to get you to live a lifestyle that in reality is just not what you've been called to do? Are there those individuals that are bringing you such dogmatic, such theologies that you feel like your head is just way below theirs and you don't even compare? Do you ever feel like that you're just not that bright? I do all the time. Because we allow people's understandings, we allow people's traditions, we allow people's mindsets to dictate to us how God will receive us and accept us. We allow human beings in their own wisdom to understand, to dictate to us how God actually sees us. I feel so inferior. And I'm saying this because I can pick on myself. And I don't need to pick on anybody else. I get near some other individuals and they seem so lofty. They have such great understandings of such things as baptism. They have great understandings of the sacraments. They have great understandings of dogmatics, of great theology. They understand guys like Tertullian. They understand guys like Luther. They understand John Calvin. They go so deep that I feel like I just don't know. We often think the sin of the world is just red cars, long hair. Forgive me, Judy, big earrings. I teased my wife last week. I said, "You're getting kind of big there, honey." That's what we often look at. It's foolish. Tares also can be false religion, false ideas, burdens upon people that we should not even lay. Tares within the garden, within the children of God, can be confusion. Could be caused by the fact of maybe we think we're so brilliant that we're going to cause division within the church group because we're going to argue over the understandings of baptism. We're going to say we have open communion rails, but we're going to say we need to examine every single individual to make sure that they're worthy before they come to this communion rail. I am not worthy! Left to my own devices, I am not worthy. As Peter also spoke to those Jews of old, he told them, "Why would we put a burden on individuals that we ourselves cannot bear? We are the children of God by grace through faith." The tares that we see within this text are not just the aspects of outward living. It's not just homosexuality, drug addiction, color of your hair. It's not the height of your skirt or whether you put gel in your hair as a man. The tares within this world often come from the pit of the devil himself, and they come in the deception of religion, where we get people to divide over the ignorance of man's opinions. Sometimes in life, even as pastors, we have to say, we just don't know. Is it the body and blood of Christ at a communion rail? Absolutely. How do you believe that and how do you know that? Because Christ says, and either I believe in Him or I do not. Either He is my Savior and my all in all, or He is not. It is not a symbol. It is not a trinket. It is by His Word. And that's enough for me. But Jesse forgets. Because he gets bogged down. We have this beautiful thing called Facebook. What a crime that thing is. We get on there and we wax nostalgic, we argue, we debate, we go through all these things. What is that doing for the unbeliever? How does that help? I've been a pastor and I know I'm wet behind the ears. I'm 47, right? I've only been a pastor for around 14 years. And I don't know anything. But I know Christ. I don't know all the great dogmatics and theologies, but I know Christ. And I know Christ has received me as I am. And I know Christ has received each and every one of us as we are, and He has called us in reality to look to Him for all the answers. The wheat and the tares are not just outward and visible things. In reality, oftentimes, the tares become religion itself. We turn around and we think that we're going to dictate to people how to run a congregation or how to run a worship service or how to run anything else, where in reality we are missing the most important thing in the world, Christ and Him crucified, and I know nothing else. The world does not need any more religion. It's got more religion than it needs. It needs faith. It needs the atoning blood. It needs forgiveness in and through Jesus Christ. It needs hope. Did Jesus debate over baptisms? Did Jesus debate over communion? He said, be baptized. He said, receive. He said, receive. This is my body, broken and given for you. Receive. This is my blood, given and shed for you. For what? The remissions of your sins. Forgiveness. It is a means of grace. Beyond that, I don't know. How it works beyond, because God said, and that's enough for me, I don't know. I'm just thankful it does. They're so confused by Jesus' talk. They're like, what in the world? So we skip ahead. We kind of skip some other parables, more descriptive stories. And they come to this point of saying, Jesus now was pulled away from the multitude and He went into a house, and His disciples come to Him and it's like, you just said something pretty powerful out there. You really did. What you said, Jesus, was not religion. It was truth. Share it with us. It wasn't dogmatics. It wasn't great theology. Share it with us. Tell us what you said. Keep it simple. Do we keep it simple? Or are we out there trying to tell people how lofty we are? I asked if you ever feel like you don't understand, or you don't meet up. And then I said, I do. I don't often understand. And I feel like oftentimes, and it's not a self-pity party, I'm putting myself here so that maybe you can see we're human too. Us pastors are human too. Sometimes we don't act it. Sometimes we act like we have all the answers in the world. Brother and sister in Christ, I do not qualify by my own merit and my own ability. Last night I was up at 1 o'clock in the morning watching the water roll in. And I was telling the Lord, I don't even deserve to be a pastor. He said, you're right. But I've called you to be one. So go preach. Preach of Jesus Christ and the gift of life. Preach of Him crucified and nothing else. Preach of forgiveness found in and solely through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Preach of His blood. Preach in reality of that redemptive work that was done upon the cross for each and every person upon this earth. But preach to the point that they could believe it for themselves and not have to qualify, not have to figure out, not try to see how theologically deep they can get, but rather come to the simple. Remember this word? Childlike faith. Childlike. The disciples were upset because people were bringing children to Jesus. Because they had lofty matters to figure out. Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, by faith through grace, we are His children. He has paid the redemptive work, and He has allowed us to be proclaimers of that great work upon this earth. He calls it ambassadors, that we would represent Him. Just tell us what you said. Jesus is so blunt, I love it. He answered and He said unto them, I'm going to take all spiritual understandings away. I'm going to take all the spiritual lies that people often want to bring out. He said, I'm going to tell you exactly what I said. He that sows the good seed is who? His own self-proclaimed title, the Son of Man. It is Him. He has come to sow the good seed. He has come to sow the Word of God upon earth, that hearts of men would be changed, that they would be His fruit. Jesus says very plainly, when all people seek to see Him, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. And then He speaks of that grain of wheat that would die, but when it dies, what does it do? Him being that grain of wheat, that it would draw forth and it would bring forth a multitude of harvest. A multitude of harvest. It is Him. The field is the world. We can understand that. It's not just this church. It's not just a church. It is the world. His Word, His grace has been poured out into this world. The good seed of the children of the kingdom. But the tares are actually the ones of the evil one, causing division, causing circumstance, strife, and difficulty. Who are we? Are we causing division? Are we causing difficulty? Are we causing strife? Or are we the children of God, bringing unity, love, and encouragement, and strength? Do we have Ruth? Do we have compassion for one another? Do we have compassion for this world? Or do we just remember the word ruthless? And do we expect people to conform to our ways, to our understanding? There is one that is out spreading deceit. There is one that is out doing wicked work. The enemy that sowed is in reality the one who is the deceiver, the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And I think it's interesting because not only do I take this in the consummation, in other words, the complete end of this world, but even in our own life. We sometimes get so focused on the end of the world that we lose sight of my end may come today, that I may be called. He says, and the reapers are actually my messengers, or my angels, and they will gather together all those tares, and they will be destroyed because they have no value to me. We don't need to go far into that. We can definitely come to the point of saying there is a heaven to gain and hell to shun. We don't like to discuss those things. Jesus says very plainly, don't think that I've come to bring peace. I've come to bring division. But the division is not over red cars, televisions, glass of wine, whatever it may be. The division in reality is either you are in or you are out of Him. Not by denomination. It's not by what system you may follow. Does the blood of Christ speak for you? Is He your Savior? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that you can confirm that in your own lives today. That by the inspiration of His Word, by the inspiration of His Holy Spirit, that you would understand you are His child. That He has died for you. That He has given His life for you. And that your victory is won. Too many times we have a tendency to gauge according to the external. He says, this will be done. He says, the Son of Man will send forth His angels and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and which do iniquity. Are we an offense? Do we cause iniquity? Or are we encouragers? Do we strengthen people? Do we equip them? Do we teach them the Word of God more perfectly, as it says in Acts? Or do we cut them off? He says very plainly. He says, and the righteous in reality will shine forth. I think that is a beautiful statement. It's not by their own works. It's not by their own abilities. But by the finished work of Jesus Christ in their life, that they would be this light. Isn't that what He calls us? Doesn't He say, you are the light of this world? He doesn't say, you're the Debbie Downer of the world. I have made you judge and ruler and authority in this world. I have made you the condemner. We have a condemner, don't we? The adversary. And he is overcome in and through Jesus Christ. Whose side are we on? He says very plainly, He says, the righteous will shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then He says something very, very interesting. Pastor Jay always makes a statement because he calls his translations ears to hear. Who has ears to hear? Let them hear. Are we so busy talking? And I'm guilty. Don't think I'm looking above anybody else. I'm pretty much number one guilt of this. Is Jesse so busy talking and so busy making his opinion known to people that he doesn't hear? Whoever has ears to hear, listen. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to His proclamation. Listen to His promises. Enter into this world as a light and bring encouragement. Will there be correction in people's lives? Absolutely. There has been correction in my life immensely by the Word of God through the power of His Holy Spirit. It's not by man. So as we open this whole thing, if you ever feel like you're insignificant, if you ever feel like that you're not worthy, if you ever feel like that in all honesty you just don't understand everything, join the club. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ that I am redeemed and you are redeemed. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ that the work is done, that He is risen and we are risen with Him. Thanks be to God for the gift of faith that you have in your life. And share His Word that another may have this faith. And if you don't understand even the understanding of this faith, speak. Speak to someone. Share with them. Ask them to share what they know. But be encouraged. Because I can promise you this. And I'm telling you this from the bottom of my heart. God loves you. He loves each and every one of you. His love is not dependent upon me. I can fail you every day as a pastor, but that doesn't change the love of God. I can fail my wife as a husband, but it does not change the love of God. I can fail my children in fits of anger and frustration, but it doesn't change the love of God. And I will, in reality, fail you many times, as will all other pastors fail you in their great understandings of theology, dogmatics, whatever it may be. But it does not change the love of God. I may preach above what I do. And I thank God for that, because I would never want to preach me. May we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And know nothing else. For God loves you. For Jesus' name's sake.